We want to remind you that...
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, all the ships at sea. It's MZ welcoming you to the radio program today, known as the Saturday Special. And we're going to have a spicy Saturday Special today. We're going to be talking about drugs and alcohol. Isn't that cool? Yeah, drugs and alcohol. Yeah, for the next 2 hours, so stay with us. You'll enjoy it, I think, I hope.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. A special Saturday special. Hey, Dave. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Yeah. So let's see. I think they've done a promo for this show at 122, if you can pull that up. And then we will play that promo so we will know what the program is all about. You got that? Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Nope. That's,
well, folks,
yeah, that's it.
Summer's
good.
Summer's moving along at a nice leisurely pace. Tourists coming to the beach and enjoying our cool weather. Locals taking time out to enjoy the scenery and the surf. So life is bucolic in this fair county, yes? Heck no. Drugs and alcohol continue to plague this area with a particular problem with methamphetamine. Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with your host, MZ, and a plethora of guests, including law enforcement, youth services, a rehab center, and an attorney who knows the inside scoop. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon on your Don't Meth With Us, Mess With Us radio station, AM 1080 KSEO.
We are
just start the program. What can you say about alcohol and marijuana? Well, I can't say very much about very much good about alcohol. I could say a few good things about marijuana, I suppose, but both of them cause problems, obviously. Okay, so let me introduce our guests here in the studio to talk about this topic today on the Saturday Special. We have Roxanne McDonald, who is a counselor for Youth Services Agency here in Santa Cruz County. It's a private, nonprofit, non-governmental agency that operates two clean and sober high schools. A clean and sober high. I mean, it's like a different mindset. My gosh, I mean, you would think that all high schools are clean and sober, but...
No, you wouldn't.
Hey, boy, I'm going to learn a lot on this program. outpatient counseling services and a 6-bed group home focused on drug and alcohol treatment for teenagers. Welcome to KSCO, Roxanne. Good
Thank
to have you.
You.
Jan Tice, who works with Janus, which is a substance abuse recovery organization here in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Jan. Good to have you here
Thank
at KSCO.
You. Thank you.
And our good friend, none other than Kim Allen of the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Department. Welcome back to KSC. How many times have you been here? Not enough, because you should be on every program.
Well, thank you. It's an excellent station here, and reaches a lot of people, and it's been very an excellent conduit for the Sheriff's Office throughout the years. Thank you.
Great. Well, appreciate it. So where do we start? I mean, I guess for people like me who are sort of removed from all, I just have no idea that the problem is as serious as it is. Is that a good way to start the radio program?
Well, Michael, I have, in fact, Jan and I have sons that are friends, that are good friends. So we kind of travel in the same circle in regards to having children in the teenage years and just getting out of high school, and I have still one in high school. And he has a punk band, and the kids are in and out, and I'm a sheriff's deputy on top of it. Mm-hmm. So I get a pretty good idea of what's going on, the drama and whatnot that's happening at that age level. And there's a real problem with methamphetamine, clearly. It's epidemic stages. I talked about it in 1990 to then Sheriff Al Noren, because we're seeing a lot of it in San Luis Valley area. And now it's come to fruition, and we're doing it's got a huge effort toward treatment and enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Big problem. And alcohol, of course,
and getting bigger,
is the worst.
Getting bigger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is, uh-huh. Unfortunately. But the awareness of the methamphetamine situation has been really widespread in regards to the media covering it from, you know, labs that are found in the Midwest out there in little rural towns in Iowa across the country. It's clearly a serious countrywide epidemic.
Uh-huh. Is it worse in other parts of the country or different parts of the country?
You know, it's kind of funny because you can go out the Midwest, which I was out there the 4th of July in a small town, 4th of July parade, and I saw several speed freaks, methamphetamine, you know, the whole scene, and it's everywhere. It's sad. It's unfortunate.
Right. I kind of see that we have the dubious benefit of having a pretty good crack epidemic, and so we're in treatment, we're seeing methamphetamine users that look a lot like the crack addicts we treated, so we're kind of like going, oh, boy. But in the Midwest, they didn't see that.
Throwing around all these terms, I mean, it just makes me think that you know, it's like we have Skid Row or, you know, a bunch of drug and alcohol addicts here in our own midst. It's like a big city almost, but it's not. Back up and let us know a little bit about the history of JANUS, which is your organization. It's been around for a long time. Who established it? How did it come to pass and so forth, please?
Well, about 30 years ago, Dr. Robert O'Brien started JANUS, and it was a private for-profit, I think, at that time.
It must stand for something, right?
Actually, he took it from the Roman god Janus, who was supposedly stood at the doors of the gates of opportunity. So he was looking at it as a symbol of change and an opportunity to go through the gates and change.
Uh-huh. Wow, okay. And then how did it evolve?
Well, in 1981, it became a private, he transferred it to private not-for-profit ownership, and it's been established since 1981, so this will be our 25th year as a not-for-profit in the community.
Why was it changed, would you think, or do you know?
Well, no, actually, I don't know. I do know that about the time it changed in 1981, some of the payment, I hate to get fiscal about it, but why not?
Makes the world go
around. You know, I think some of the reimbursements for the private sector were getting difficult, and Dr. O'Brien probably saw this as a really useful and important element in the community, this level of treatment for detoxification and treatment for adults, and that he couldn't continue it as a for-profit. And so he kind of went to the community and said, do you want to take this over? And a group of people did. And it's sustained as a not-for-profit since then.
Right. Okay. And tell us about your organization, please, Roxanne, the Council for Youth Services Agency. Mm-hmm. Or Youth Services Agency,
it's
actually.
Youth Services. Yeah. It was started as a counseling agency for young people. And then about 17 years ago, Claire Wesley was doing outreach in the community, and her entire job was going downtown, going to the SLV, and hanging out with young people and seeing what their needs were, and doing group counseling. And what she discovered was that she could work with young people about drugs and alcohol and then have them want to get clean and sober or want to change their lives, and then she would be sending them back into these high schools that the entire culture was around drugs and alcohol, and they were finding themselves unable to be clean and sober. So about 17 years ago, we started the YES program, which is a clean and sober high school. We have a classroom where they meet with a teacher for a few hours a day, and then they get group counseling, individual counseling, family counseling. We run parents groups, and you know, the idea was just to start to have a place where it's safe for young people to go who want to be clean and sober.
Are there ever any people who are turned away? Sort of a dumb question, but
turned away from.
I mean, if they need the services, and are you ever filled up? I guess or.
No. We have so many different programs within youth services that when somebody wants to get help, we're gonna find a way for them too. So we don't really turn anyone away. You know, for the high schools, those are very voluntary. So that, you know, sometimes we'll get young people in there that the judge wants them to go there, their parents want them to go there. You know, there's a police officer standing behind them saying, go to this school. And if I ask that person, do you want to come here? Is this something that you are willing to do? You know, and they say no, then I'll turn them away. I'll say the doors are open to you, but for right now, we want clean and sober people in the schools. But then, you know, we do offer outpatient services. We offer, you know, counseling groups for people that are just wanting to look at their substance use, and a safe place just for having that so they can talk to other young people and then get some education.
So it's more of a voluntary place. I mean, it's not a place where someone is sentenced to, you know,
no,
anything like that.
No. Our group home, we do get a lot of probation referrals. In both of our high schools, we get probation referrals. So, but it is voluntary. Sometimes the kids have some real force behind them to go, but it is voluntary.
Uh-huh.
We don't hog tie them or anything.
Right. Yeah, you wanted to say something, Jen?
Well, it is voluntary, and yet, you know, because a person won't engage in some change unless there's some mm-hmm. motivation. A lot of times we will start with an external motivation, and mm-hmm. but in treatment we have to work at some point to change that to an internal motivation, and that's the struggle
mm-hmm.
many
yeah.
times. But
yeah, we're trying to bring up on the computer system a commentary that was made several years ago. It was set up. It was supposed to be set up for me to play here, and it's not. So we're trying to get it up on the computer. That's why I'm sort of doing a little tap dance. Dave is going to try to help me. It's 099. Is it just not there? You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. Michael Z, along with special guests Jan Tice, Roxanne McDonald, and Kim Allen. We're talking drugs and alcohol. What can you say about drugs and alcohol? What can you say about it?
Drugs are bad, okay?
There you go.
Yeah, now, really, you know, and clearly people, especially in this country, since we spend more money on alcohol and cigarettes than we do on education, that our priorities are already set in place, and alcohol is the biggest problem we have, I see. Clearly, if you look at the court calendar, each one of those unfortunate defendants in there are usually there's some nexus to primarily, almost exclusively, alcohol, and then of course a combination, whether because of addiction, self-medication, a myriad of reasons, but nonetheless still treatable. And Jan touched on something that's really difficult, is that we have a health issue with substance abuse that needs to be addressed medically and through treatment, counseling, etc. And then you have the law enforcement component, which is somewhat contrary to that concept, and it is also not contrary because it is the motivator, that the hammer, the consequences that has to be in place in order to make it work. So what do we do? You know, call in and tell us. Especially now, because we're having a little technical difficulty here.
All right, now we're going to play what we should have played at the beginning of the program here. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate your bringing it up for us.
With a KSCO commentary, here is Kay's Whirling. As a pedestrian observer of the human condition and of the attitudes of society toward the two most widely used recreational substances, alcohol and marijuana, otherwise known as pot, one wonders why alcohol is universally accepted, condoned, and promoted, while marijuana or pot is maligned and in some places forbidden. The U.S. government has declared pot to be illegal, so many caught with its possession or use are fined, stigmatized, languishing in prison, and otherwise made miserable. There is documented medical proof that pot can ease the pain of terminally ill patients and afford their last days a measure of mellow peace. Despite this positive use of the substance, the federal government continues to declare it illegal, even though some states do allow its use for medical purposes. Alcohol, on the other hand, gets a free ride, despite the fact that its legal use has caused and continues to cause enormous human misery with the breakup of families, neglect of children, loss of jobs, accidents and killings by drunken drivers, and the overall drain on society. One could argue that while both substances are considered bad, alcohol causes more grief in the world than pot does. During a trip to Jamaica many years ago, our tour guide pointed out the abundant marijuana bushes growing wild alongside the roads, and he attributed the longevity and good health of most Jamaicans to their daily drinking of a tea made from the marijuana leaves. So one could wonder, if alcohol, with nothing good to justify its use, is federally legal, shouldn't pot, with some significant proven good, likewise be legal? Or put another way, if pot is illegal, surely shouldn't alcohol also be illegal? For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Well, that ended abruptly. What did you think of that commentary, folks?
Well, it's kind of interesting because the comments I was actually making when we had some dead air time there was exactly actually a good lead-in for what the commentary addressed, and it's exactly that issue. And we lose sight of it because it's so woven into our daily lives as Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you think it's ever going to change? I mean, we're just looking for consistency here. I think my mother makes just an excellent, excellent point, and that commentary was recorded, I don't know, three years ago, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken. And we figured it was a good time to dredge it up and play it for this program. Why is there such an inconsistency? It doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Well, you know, I think if you look at how this country was founded by Puritans and criminals, you know that we have that double standard, Michael, and we're trying to find that middle path. Aristotle talks about it as a golden mead, and Buddha talks about it as the middle path, the middle way, the compromise. And you have to look at it, yeah, we're not going to end this problem because it's innately something that's part of the human being, from what I've observed, you know, in order to alter your consciousness for a number of reasons. And, you know, I mean, it's a huge issue, really, topic. But it's here to stay. If we can't keep it out of our prisons, how are we going to keep it out of our society? You know, so it's really a problem. I don't know. From the treatment, and Jan, what's your comments in that regard?
To say that substance abuse and use, trying to mood alter, get chemical peace of mind, has been around for, God, probably since the first kind of fruit fell into some water and fermented, and somebody stumbled on it or saw an animal drink it and looked like they were having a good time. So, you know, to try and and the truth is, any chemical substance use affects people differently. And so if there could be quote-unquote safe use of alcohol by 100% of the population, it probably wouldn't be, if it didn't cause economic, social, health, safety problems, no problem. Same thing with marijuana, same thing with methamphetamine, same thing with opiates. But the trouble is, there's a certain segment of the population, which is difficult to define, that is, they cannot control their use. It becomes problematic. It becomes problematic for them, and becomes problematic for us as a society. Mm-hmm. And then different societies take approaches to say, how are we going to ameliorate or control those problems that come from that? Some take a very, you know, political point. Some societies have a very strong societal rules that really permeate throughout society, and they don't look for a law enforcement to control that. They really control that at a more family and a social level. But those are the things we deal with. And to say that any substance, be it marijuana or whatever, it's safe. Well, it's safe for some people.
In moderation.
But some people can't moderate. You know, and how do you define those? You know, how do you? That's been problematic.
If you made it totally illegal because some people can't control themselves and can't moderate their intake,
then you're wiping out the people who can.
And then you're creating a whole new set of problems, you know, with underground economies and things like
that.
It
won't work.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work.
There must be some solution that we can come up with here today on the KS7 Saturday Special.
So what do they say? They say if you take the same path, you're sure to get there, right? So why don't we try some new paths here and see if we can do a better job?
Such as?
I really believe in the accountability component to people getting well. And, of course, the treatment component, which is actually going to do the work, which is going to hopefully affect the changes in the person. Are they self-medicating because they're bipolar? Are they just being irresponsible and drinking all the time because of some event that happened to them in the past? I mean, define what it is that's wrong with the person. Hopefully you can get to it either from medication or through counseling and move this person along so they can function and have a better life and be safer to be on society. Then the other side of it is if you don't get the message, then we're going to have to put you somewhere else and maybe in that locked setting, you can get some counseling and some treatment, but some people just have to be pulled out of the program.
Is that trying something different? I mean, isn't that sort of what we do now?
Yeah, but it's a half-hearted. What I'm seeing is a half-hearted attempt at treatment by the addicts themselves, so they know it's a pathway. Okay, send me over to Salvation Army in San Jose. And then you call over at Salvation Army. Where's Joe? Well, Joe split a week ago. I mean, there's no accountability on the other end. So, what's the answer?
Sounds like the war on terror, a half-hearted. Anyhow, needed to draw that parallel here. Hey, Richard Quigley is on the phones. I haven't given out the phone numbers, but when Richard Quigley calls, we got to put him on. The phone numbers are 479-1080. In fact, that's the only phone number. I'll call it if you want to participate here on the program. Richard, you're on.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey.
Janice is there today. That's kind of cool. And I've been hearing a phrase beat around that I've been listening to for a long time. I don't know, Michael, if I ever told you, and I don't know that the general audience knows, but Oak Quigg was pretty out of control drunk for a lot of years in my youth. And at the ripe old age of 30, I'd consumed enough alcohol to float a fleet. And I started in a detox program back in Arizona. When I'm 32 years now, sober from alcohol, got rid of all that. And it was very difficult, I'm here to tell you. But the greatest difficulty I faced then, and what I see as a predominant difficulty that people face now, is this misconception about drug or alcohol abuse, because I find it almost laughable, the words that we use. You can't abuse alcohol. You can drink it, you can not drink it, you can beat on it with a hammer, but still not abuse it. Alcohol is not abusable any more than heroin or cocaine or pot or any other drug, you know. The solution came for me, the long-term solution came for me when I realized that the abuse was me. It's a self-abuse problem. And the manner in which you do that self-abuse, there's you're looking at the instrument. But it's the whole idea that people would abuse themselves. And
Richard, you're getting a little too esoteric for me, for my small peanut-sized brain.
Well,
What are you saying, Richard?
I'm saying that self-esteem and building people's self-esteem and making people... When I got off alcohol, and started on the road recovery was the day that I decided I deserved better than what I was getting with my alcoholic lifestyle. And up until that point, I didn't think enough of myself not to be a drunken fool. But when I discovered that there was more to me than that drunk fool, that I had a right to wake up in the morning and see the sun and be glad to see it rather than wake up with that miserable hangover. And so all these programs and all these discussions keep coming around to drug abuse. And you can't abuse a drug. The drug is inert. It can't be abused. The person that consumes it can abuse himself with the drug. Is that too esoteric?
Hey, Richard, I get it. You know, when I was at San Jose State, I had a really great professor that was an Oakland cop. He was a sergeant there. And he said, we were calling them victimless crimes at the time, prostitution, drug use, et cetera. And so he said, no, that's really not a good term. It should be a consensual crime because you consent to allowing yourself to abuse it and to be a victim of it yourself. So there is a victim, and that's you.
He doesn't want you saying abusing.
Well, no. Abuse is a crime.
You're abusing yourself, just like he said. You are.
You literally can't abuse the drug.
Right,
you can abuse yourself through the use of it, but the drug doesn't care.
I think self-abuse should be... declared illegal.
Well, I don't know that it needs to be declared illegal, but I think it needs to be brought to light for what it is.
Do you think attempted suicide should be a capital crime punishable by the death penalty?
You want to do another one of those comedy shows, don't you, Michael?
That should be on the poll for this week. Now, listen, you got to have a little levity somewhere.
It's too damn serious, a lot of these radio shows.
Wasn't
funny. I'm sitting here smoking my cigarette, and there are people out there that believe that this is a very slow attempt, you know, at suicide.
So, it is, Richard. I'm one of those people who believes that.
But you remember,
but you have every right to do that, just as you have every right to ride your motorcycle without a helmet.
Oh yeah, boy, has that right ever been codified lately?
Yeah. See, you're, and you live to see it. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah,
I mean,
we're not quite done yet, but by God, we're getting there. That shows you what an honest judge can do.
Uh huh.
But getting back to the abuse thing, my concern is that we get turned away, we get confused about what this whole thing is really about. And in my opinion, the whole issue with drug abuse, as they call it, is self-abuse. And if we could understand that the problem with drugs is that it causes people to abuse themselves and give people a reason not to, and focus on that as the cure, you could lay drugs out on the tables forever and people wouldn't touch them once they understood that they deserve better than that. That's just my look at it.
And I think you're right on. Thank you. You want to say something, Roxanne?
Well, along those lines, I think that we are making progress. And, you know, the debate about whether it should be legal or illegal, you know, I can't really get into that too much. But what I do see is that successful counties are usually ones where there is a level of compassion that the hemp seeds are in the office. Wow.
Harold just brought me some hemp seeds.
Yeah, the right to remain silent.
Let's make some tea.
Well, wait a minute. I mean,
Heck, I'm going to get a felony stat here on a Saturday.
Yeah,
overtime.
I mean, but it says organic.
Just kidding, Richard. You know,
hemp seed. I don't know if you were listening to the last program, Richard. Michael Olson on the Food Chain did a wonderful, lively, spicy program about hemp, as it always is whenever it's brought up on this station. So,
sure.
And when I was driving into the station, I was listening. I said, I didn't realize that hemp was rich in essential fatty acids and protein and all that kind of stuff. Because I know I don't look it, and I know I don't sound it, but I am at least trying to get into health. So.
with your communications with Dr. Wallach, you know, it's got to rub off. Of course, you
it does.
Be
of
more
course,
healthy.
It does. Absolutely.
Sure.
And I feel much better when I discipline myself to taking the minerals and the amino acids and the tangy tangerine and all this. But when I came in, I said I didn't know that hemp seed was loaded with essential fatty acids. And on the way out of the station, Carol said, would you like some hemp seed? And I said, sure. And she said, okay. And I thought she was going to bring in some hemp seed next week or something like that. And here it comes, you know, 10 minutes later. I'm just thrilled. Carol, we love you. Thank you very much. What a sweet.
There's a book out there, Michael. There's a book out there, Michael, and I don't know how available it is these days. At one time, it was actually common reading in the universities. But it's written by a behavioral psychologist. His name is Thomas Szasz.
Yeah, Thomas Szasz. Yeah, S-C-A-Z-Z.
Yeah, and what he said, he was doing an overview of drugs, and he even has a real great little timeline in there about all the different drugs that have been illegal in all the different cultures for all the different centuries of man. But one of the things he was talking about was cocaine. He was talking about the drug cocaine, and I read this back in the 60s. And he talked about, I believe it was the father of psychiatry, a guy by the name of Freud.
And Sigmund Freud.
Yeah. And
a very good personal friend of mine.
Freud did a lot of personal experimentation, I guess, for lack of a better term, with cocaine. And he talks about the beneficial properties of cocaine. And he summed up in saying that basically what cocaine does is make you feel more normal. Now, I looked around the people in the society at the time. Now, this was the 80s. And I looked at people that were cocaine users. And I couldn't see anything normal about what they were doing. It looked to me like it was making them act like freaks. So I contemplated that. And as a result of that contemplation, I came back to pretty much the same result, was that those people that did not have self-destructive patterns, did not have self-destructive desires, may very well have been, and maybe even now for all I know, maintained a state of more normal by using cocaine. But those people that have self-destructive patterns and self-destructive desires can, in fact, destroy themselves behind cocaine or any other harsh drug. And by the way, the fact that those drugs are illegal is part of that cycle.
All right, what do you want to say, Jan?
Well, I think it should be, in all deference to Freud, should be included that he also recanted that and said, in fact, cocaine was the scourge of mankind. Mm-hmm. So, and he followed that up fairly quickly after his quote-unquote experimentation.
Richard,
so.
Is this new to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you happy you tuned into the Saturday special?
Well, I'm always happy I tuned into the Saturday special, Michael. I mean, how do you think I got hooked on KSCO in the first place?
Right.
This is probably one of the finest radio hours there is or 2 hours that there is in the medium.
And I think it's going to become even finer now that I've swallowed some hemp seed, and it's absolutely delicious. It's really, really good.
Well, the jokes will get funnier too. But I don't want my point to get lost. And that is my point is that the destructive properties of drugs have absolutely, it doesn't matter if the person that using them does not have a self-destructive personality, self-destructive desire. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see all of these programs and all of the thinking about drug regulation focus itself around what we can do to make people feel better about themselves so that destroying their lives with drugs is not a choice.
And isn't that exactly what Janus does, and isn't that exactly what Youth Services does? I mean, that's what they do. That's what they're there for. So, Richard, I mean, what you said should be done is being done.
Well, I guess I'm right then.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Well, that makes me right twice. One's about the Alma Law, and one's about anti-self-destructive behavior.
We will be looking for your program on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll be on Tuesday. Thank you very much, Michael.
There goes Richard Quigley. Here comes Ben and Ben Lomond. Hey.
Hello.
Is Ben Lomond named after you, Ben?
No, you could call me Ben There.
Ben There. Okay.
I'm really Jim. I lied.
Oh!
I lied.
But see, now, if we let you on, we're going to set a if we let you continue after.
Oh, no, you
should
let me on. I've got something very perceptive to say.
Well, in that case, okay.
Yeah, I think one of the root problems is the fact that there's such a stigma associated with getting treatment for any sort of mental health issue at all, whether that's anxiety or depression or bipolar or attention deficit disorder, and there's a lot of people who are just self-medicating with different types of drugs. Alcohol is one of the oldest and most destructive and most generic. It's just a general depressant, right? But there are other people who have problems with low levels of stimulation and things like that that turn to things like gambling and speed, you know, to be stimulated. And you could see it everywhere in our society. It's still, even though we're overwhelmed by political correctness, it's still perfectly okay to make jokes about people with behavioral issues and say, you know, he didn't take his medication today or he's not on Prozac. And a lot of people would rather just kill themselves than go get treatment.
Wow.
Aren't you glad you let me spoke?
Really happy, yeah, because, no, we kid around, and I shouldn't be doing that because it's a very, very serious subject.
It's not a joke at all.
No, I know, but I've been a little flippant on the program today, and I have been kidding around myself.
No, you're not,
but I really am happy that that we kept you on, even though you lied about who you are.
No, I didn't lie. I told you my name. My name's Jim.
But
Jim,
I mean, but originally.
Yeah.
Because it says Ben and Ben Lohman.
Yeah. Well,
okay, Jim Ben. Thank you. Take care.
You know, Michael, there's been a lot of work done in the mental health community to erase the stigma and to get people into treatment. And our office has worked toward that end as well, because we can't just go respond constantly to the same situation over and over again. And some become.
So how do you do it? Public service announcements on media? You know, I mean, how do you get the word out?
Well, a lot of it's funding, unfortunately, because there's a network of nonprofit organizations out there that are providing health services for the mentally ill and the mentally challenged in a lot of respects. What's it? I always forget the name
of it. MHCAN.
That's it. MHCAN. I always get that screwed up. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a terrific job out there with limited resources. And I think, really, the mental health issue is one that's been commented on, and in the media, and he's right. It is a stigma. You don't want to go get help. My profession, law enforcement, to go get counseling and whatnot, has always been a stigma. You're not tough enough to handle it, you know, because you got to be, you know, bulletproof in this line of work, and it's a sign of weakness because you're mentally not doing well. But in fact, it's what does make you completely healthy all the way around, the mind and the body. So
it's not much different than a person being addicted to you know, sweets or starches or something and becoming fat. It's not much different. It really isn't. You're still hurting yourself. You're hurting your health.
Yeah, except for with drugs and alcohol, people lose their ability to function socially, in their family,
in
the community, you know. And, I mean, of course, there are negative consequences for any type of obsessive behavior. But, you know, I have a friend who's been struggling with drug addiction for years and years, and I just ran into him, and he's clean, but he's orange because he's been, not mainlining, but he's been drinking carrot juice obsessively, and he's orange, you know, and he's not losing his ability to function in society or be a member of his own family. You know, it's probably a little weird for people, that he's orange, but there is the, you know, when we look at treatment, are we treating like the callers have all talked about? Are we treating the idea that something outside of me is going to fix me, and that, you know, in our society, I think a lot has to do with people thinking that if I do something else, then I'm going to feel different, instead of actually addressing the issues that you're trying to hide. And, you know, and I think that with in our community, the collaboration between, you know, the justice system, probation, mental health services has improved tremendously in the last several years. And we've seen incredible results, that we have a number of judges in this community that are really looking at the problem instead of just trying to be punitive against the symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And that we have seen, it's been, you know, the especially the juvenile probation has seen amazing results in the last several years.
Richard N. Watsonville.
Hey, Mike. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm having a good time listening to this. But this is funny. You know, come on. We get a person off of alcohol and drugs, what this lady's saying, and we turn them orange.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
I didn't say it was okay. I was actually talking about compulsive behavior.
Well, yeah, you're talking about trading one addiction for another.
It's okayer than being the other way, because at least one way you can function. I mean, I made the point here that, you know, if you keep eating stuff that's bad for you, you're going to get fat, and it's not good for your health. And you made an excellent point that at least you can still function.
Yeah,
at least
Mike,
your friend can still function even though he's orange.
I really hope he's not listening.
Beta carotene works, huh? That's what's in carrots, I guess.
Some people would rather see an orange face than a face that looks mine. I haven't been out in the sun very much, and people have been telling me I look really pale and pasty lately.
Well, it sounds like you've been eating marijuana seeds. Let's check your eyeballs out, man. A little red there, Mike? How you feel?
Wait a minute. You know,
how you feel there, Mike? You feeling all right? You say it tastes good.
A little better.
You know, I mean, Kim Allen's job there is to arrest you. And like he says, he needs more funding, and funding is what makes him arrest you and put you in a clean and sober environment, a rehab, and let you run through the program. See? Because we're dealing with an addiction. Because we're dealing with an addiction, we have to deal with weak minds, and we can't do that unless we have a lot of money coming in, see? And program referrals from the police.
Richard,
why don't you just come out and say it, Kim?
Richard, are you mocking Kim Allen?
Oh, yes, I am. I've got friends that say that they've even smoked pot with Kim Allen back in the day. Now, is there any truth to that, Kim?
See the liability of being born and raised in Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Listen.
How about it, Kim? You and I are in the same class at Holy Cross, man. So we got the same friends.
No, we didn't go to Holy Cross together, actually.
That's another Kim Allen.
No, we didn't, because I went there from 67 and graduated in 70. And you were in my class. You went to Santa Cruz High, I think, didn't you?
I got kicked out of Holy Cross in fifth grade, Kim.
Oh, okay.
You want to take it any farther, buddy? I don't think you want to take it any farther
Anyhow.
With me. The thing is that heroin addicts, I could trust them more than I could a damn alcoholic.
Listen, Richard.
Yes.
Kim, it's not a problem if I admit to everybody on the radio that I smoke pot. I wasn't what I would consider a pot.
It makes no difference. Did it break
you
up your family, Mike?
Yeah, I did inhale.
Did it break up your family, though?
No.
It didn't break up your family, so why do we bring this crap up that we're going to break up your family and send you to rehab in the name of money, man? I mean, cops are there to arrest you and put you in jail and guard you for your safekeeping and all that in the name of money. This lady, Roxanne, and this Jan guy, he can't do nothing unless he gets funding, unless he gets money, see? You know, it's use, not abuse we're talking about here. I'm sitting here smoking a big fat one.
I can tell.
No, you can't. No, you cannot tell.
It's kind of tangential thinking and not being able to track a conversation, which would...
Oh, well, you haven't said anything yet, so, I mean, what am I supposed to track?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here bringing up real issues, and you're sitting here justifying why you're getting a paycheck for helping somebody that has a weak mind. That's basically what you're dealing with. People that have weak minds.
Right on.
What could anyone say to that?
There was a pregnant silence here.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. You know, I can tell you why that is, because it all boils down to money. I mean, I would rather take male marijuana plants and make herbal diesel instead of biodiesel.
I don't think anyone gets into the treatment of drug and alcohol,
the industrial part of
trying to deal with this problem for the money. If, you know, I don't believe any of us actually
no
make
money
a good
there,
amount
are
of money.
You there? Kim comes on the radio and says he needs more police officers. I'll give you $65,000 a year to go out there and bust these guys. So they got to have a place to go to, and that's where you come in.
We're definitely recruiting. Yeah. And the drug protocol is you have to not have smoked marijuana for 2 years.
Yeah, but look at the money you're getting, man. Look at the money you're getting, and that's obscene, especially when you come around and you want more money.
We have to do some commercials.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, listen, hey, kill the promos, okay, Dave?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Richard.
Good program, man.
Thank you. Okay. Alan in Santa Cruz about cannabis. God, I wonder if it's that same Alan. It must be. Susie, her child went to Yes School. Scott in Boulder Creek, drugs in general. Joe in Salinas has compliments about, well, it ran off the screen here. If it's a compliment about me or my mother, we'll put him on next. But I can't. Well, we'll have to check. We'll just run the commercials. Thank you.
You'll find the great outdoors on display this weekend at the Giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose. Yes, you'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, and accessories, and much, much more. Get in on all the fun of buying and selling at the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds in San Jose this Saturday and Sunday. Get there early for the best deals. Doors open at 9 a.m. You'll find hunting knives, all types of firearms, work knives, beautiful jewelry, sporting goods, hunting goods, safes, swords, ammo, survival books, Western Art Militaria, supplies for hunters and sportsmen, and much, much more. Don't miss the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. Go for the great outdoors at the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds.
Hi, I'm Adolfo Garcia, owner of Community Tree Service. We offer dumpster rentals, tree work, demolition, and free estimates. For any of these services, please go ahead and call my office and either talk to Regina or Naomi at 763-2391. Thank you.
Are trees around your house looking strange, leaning in the wrong direction, blocking your sunlight, in danger of falling? Take care of this and call us, the professionals, Community Tree Service. We're licensed, insured, and we offer free estimates and are ever ready in emergency situations. We take pride in being reliable and will accommodate your needs with safe professional service and advice. Call our office today at 763-2391 or from Santa Cruz, 426-6340.
Hi, you guys. Did you know Wallach also has liquid glucogel? You know, that's the one that helps rebuild bone and cartilage, takes care of the bone matrix. They actually have a liquid glucogel that I add into my drink every single morning, and it really is loaded with goodies. It has 750 milligrams of glucosamine sulfate. This is in 1 ounce. Why not switch to the liquid glucogel? I use mine in the morning. I mix my liquid glucogel with my Ultimate Classic, my Osteo FX, and my Women's FX. I stir it up. It's a nice little yummy thing. You can almost chew on it. It's so thick. But it's delicious. It's sweet tasting. And oh my, it really packs a wallach. Oh, a wallach. That's a mistake, but actually it's a good one. It actually packs a wallach instead of a wallop. Anyway, you should do this. I drink the liquid glucogel every day, and don't forget, even an extra benefit, it has collagen. Call me, 888-352-7500.
888-352-7500. Dave Allen, a blast to the past, Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m.
I just want to make love to you.
Sunday afternoons, 5 p.m. here on AM 1080 KSEO. Get with the program.
Hadassah helps Israel. Violence and terrorism have driven thousands of children and families from their homes in northern Israel to the safety and security of Hadassah's youth villages. They arrive with only the clothing on their backs and their medical problems, and they also arrive hungry. It takes dollars to provide critical care along with trained staff and shelter. Please help Hadassah. Help these people. If you'd like to help Hadassah, call 1-866-229-2395. Thank you.
I guess we're back here on the KSEO Saturday Special, hour number one. We're talking about drugs and alcohol on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSEO, where the phone number is 479-1080 if you want to call. We have guests in the studio, Jan Tice from Janus, Roxanne McDonald from Youth Services, and Kim Allen from the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's office, Joe and Salinas, you wanted to compliment somebody or something.
Yeah, I wanted to compliment Tim for his definition, for his definition of consensual crime rather than victimless. A choice of words, it means everything in political argumentation. And, you know, that victimless is used for drug abuse, it's used for prostitution, it's used for a whole number of things. And when I heard him use the word consensual, I go, wow, bingo, that's the right word, the correct word, and it puts it right squarely where the problem is. It's a good deal for the abusers, and then they try to pass it off as just completely innocent fun.
Okay. Well, thank you for call. Are you on a payphone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, good. Joe and Salinas got a cell phone. That's great. Are you actually? You always had a cell phone, I think, huh?
No, I had it was a payphone. I was running around payphone. I finally got a cell phone.
I was gonna say, you know, you could have bought 100 cell phones for all the payphones that you waited to talk to on this radio station, let alone, you know, whatever else you use a phone for. Anyhow, Joe, thanks for calling.
Okay,
bye. It was great to hear from you. Joe in Salinas. Now there is Alan in Cannabis regarding Santa Cruz.
Hi. I'm Alan, and I'm the guy that got caught in 91 with
Brady.
Right, with 1,200 pounds of hemp seed.
And whenever we do any kind of a program on hemp, whenever we do, it doesn't matter. You call, and it's great. So, because it's nice to know that you're still listening to us.
Oh, I do, and I greatly appreciate your station. I've learned so much. Thank you.
Bless you. So do I appreciate it, because if it wasn't for the station, I wouldn't have been able to eat some high protein, high omega fatty acids hemp today.
Right. You know, one thing I wanted to add to the conversation is that when Richard Nixon was president of the United States, he put together a commission called the Schaefer Commission, and it was made up of doctors and psychiatrists, and they unanimously said that as long as you have alcohol accessible in society, you have to have the cannabis alternative because it's so much less harmful. And Richard Nixon disregarded it and never mentioned it. And I feel what we really need to do is acknowledge the Schaefer Commission. Well, and that's what I wanted to throw in.
Well, consider it done, because you just did it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. And
Alan, are you in the phone book if we ever wanted to do a program with you?
Yes, I am. Right in the phone book. And
okay.
I'm always here, and I'd love to, you know, be any part of anything with you.
Thanks, Alan.
All right.
Appreciate your loyalty. It was Alan in Santa Cruz. Here comes Susie, whose child went to Yes School.
Hello.
What does that mean, Susie?
Oh, hi. Well, I just wanted to call in and thank the director or the programmer of the Yes School, because I have a child that went to that school, and she was 16 when she started there, and it was really helpful. And we went to the parents group, and she worked with counselors there, and she was, you know, she has stayed clean ever since, and she's turning 20 now and has just celebrated 3 years clean. And I really believe it was highly due to her attending the Yes School and getting the support there from the counselors and the people running it.
How does that make you feel, Roxanne?
It makes me want to cry every time I hear something like that. I mean, yeah, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. And then I just want to share also that when I was a teenager, I was about 14, and I had moved to Santa Cruz from Philadelphia thinking that I would be able to survive on my own, and I couldn't. And I went to the youth services program back then, and they helped me get a bus ticket back home, and called my mom and made sure that I could, you know, go back home and live with my mom, and bought me a bunch of groceries. And I don't remember if they flew me back home or put me on a bus back home, but they helped me get home, and I really appreciated that as well. So I have a lot of experience with youth services, and both times have been just really a great thing. So I wanted to call in and just thank you.
Thanks for doing that, Susie.
You're welcome.
Hey, we got less than a minute, I think. Am I right, Dave? Less than a minute for the news? I don't know if the clock is synchronized here. What's going on here? Scott.
Oh.
Hey, Scott.
Hi.
We just heard you scolding your family.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It is a substitute for God's love, I believe. But, you know, I want to have a secular perspective. The author of Brave New World, Aldous Huxley.
Yes.
He said, historically, people have always sought to alter their consciousnesses through ingesting a substance from outside of themselves. He said, there's no sense in asking why, because they do. The question then is what substances should be legal. He mentioned we have alcohol and cigarettes only. So he suggested that there should be one more. His suggestion was mescaline. I'm not that familiar with that mild hallucinogen. Oh. But after hearing the show, it sounds like the Schaefer Commission should be looked into.
Scott, you want us to hold you over?
Yes,
you
sir. Don't? I have one
okay.
other point.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because it's KSCO Santa Cruz. It's 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Days. Lebanon furious over an Israeli commando raid, questioning Israeli claims that it was targeting the smuggling of arms from Iran and Syria.
Lebanese say under the cover of darkness that Israeli commandos appeared to be targeting a local Hezbollah leader in the area. They clash with Hezbollah gunmen. The locals say that the Israelis tried to pass themselves off as Lebanese army soldiers, but Hezbollah gunmen grew suspicious, started firing.
Fox's Dana Lewis, a senior UN envoy, saying if media reports about the raid in Lebanon are true, it would constitute a clear violation of a UN brokered truce. A plea in the case of two Fox News employees held hostage in Gaza.
The wife of one of the two kidnapped Fox News employees went on television to appeal for their release. Anita McNaught said her husband Olaf Wig and reporter Steve Sentani are good men who don't deserve this. They were taken by masked gunmen in Gaza on Monday.
Fox News Radio's Hank Weinblum. In Iraq, Baghdad on lockdown. Last night, 7 Shiite pilgrims gunned down in a drive-by shooting.
It's a security precaution to prevent attacks during 2 days of ceremonies at a North Baghdad shrine, marking the death of an 8th century Shiite religious figure. Last year, nearly 1,000 people died crossing a bridge over the Tigris River when rumors about a suicide bomber caused a stampede.
Fox's Malini Bawa. Killer or kook? How did police find JonBenet Ramsey's suspected killer in Thailand?
2 weeks ago, investigators here received a phone call from the United States with one word, Daxus. That's all they had. No name, no physical address, no physical description, no date of birth. And with that, they were able, through investigative leads and so forth, to come up with the name of John Mark Carr.
Fox's William Lajeunesse in Bangkok. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m. And then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ford's putting production in reverse, cutting it by 21% next quarter.
Ford wants to produce fewer cars to match slowing sales inventory. Big trucks and SUVs aren't selling as well either, with high gas prices.
Fox's Rebecca Gomez. Boeing also cutting back, planning to ground production in 2009 of C-17 cargo planes because Congress hasn't funded new purchases.
Boeing still has orders for 180 of the huge planes, enough to keep the line moving through 2008. But today it's telling subcontractors to stop making new parts.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson. The head of FEMA is worried.
Only 25% of the people surveyed said they would evacuate if they're in an evacuation zone when told to do so. Quite frankly, that scares me.
David Paulison also saying nearly a year after Katrina hit that while FEMA has made some changes and is ready, we need to prepare too.
Those who are able-bodied, those who can prepare themselves, get their 72 hours food, water, medicines, flashlight batteries, all those types of things to take care of themselves in those first few days, takes a tremendous load off the local first responders. dollars off of the state and off the federal government.
Barry Bonds, personal trainer, is still refusing to play ball in court.
He did it again. Barry Bonds' personal trainer, Greg Anderson, showing up before a grand jury and refusing to answer questions about the San Francisco Giants slugger and steroids, only hours after a federal judge ordered Anderson to appear, threatening more jail time if he didn't. He's already been to jail for refusing to testify about his childhood friend, a new grand jury probing whether Bonds lied under oath in a steroids investigation. Anderson will find out later this month if he'll be locked up again for his silence. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Well, those snakes now in theaters. Samuel L. Jackson, Snakes on a Plane, opening with mostly positive reviews. Plenty of gore and bad language. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today. Saturday, August 19th, 2006. Today will be partly cloudy with southwest winds around 6 miles an hour and highs in the mid-60s. Tonight will be partly cloudy with some fog and west winds around 7 miles an hour with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with patches of fog in the morning and west winds around 6 miles an hour with highs in the low 70s. And today out there on the bay, you can expect west winds 5 to 10 knots with wind waves 1 foot or less and a northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds along with patchy fog. And tonight out there on the bay, west winds up to 5 knots with wind waves 1 foot or less and a northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. And again, patchy fog can be expected after midnight. The temperature here at the station is 64 degrees and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host,
Stations.
MZ.
One room.
Darling, I hate to hang up on you, but I've got to tune into this great record show.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
I'm a 230-pound weakling, and I wish I had muscles like Kim Allen, or even one-tenth the muscles Kim Allen. And during the break, he was drinking muscle milk. Kim, if I drink muscle milk, will I grow some muscles?
Absolutely.
Say that again, please.
Absolutely, you will, because it's protein. You just work the muscle and you feed it, and it will grow.
But what happens if you just feed it protein but don't work it?
It still is required to restore the muscle as it breaks down and rebuilds through just daily activity. Actually sitting there, you're burning calories and utilizing protein.
My legs are okay because I do a lot of walking. But, you know, from the waist up, I'm a mess. You know, and so and I want to have a... Rowing, I think, is a good upper body thing, right?
Rowing,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I go down the harbor a lot. And
kayak and stuff?
I go down there a lot. I don't have a rowing shell, but I watch and I see the movement, and it's great. And, of course, it's one of the many things that I want to do. But that's the secret to it, is riding your bicycle. I don't drive hardly at all during the weekends. I ride my bike everywhere to go shopping, to go to the movies, just for entertainment, or go over to my mom's house, or whatever it is I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And I do it with my wife, and it's a ton of exercise, and you get in really good shape. And you get one up on life. I feel like at the end of the day, I've won because I didn't have to buy any gasoline.
A Kim Allen wife has to be in shape, too, just naturally.
Well, just by hanging out, just by doing what we do, yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah. It's all fun, though. See, I mean,
I think a person
being active. I'm just active.
I think a person could get in shape just watching you, not doing anything.
I'm just active.
Right.
Contact
okay, cool.
Health.
Yeah, you're listening. Welcome.
Lots of energy, you know.
Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special on your favorite radio station. We've got Jan Tice Kim Allen and Roxanne McDonald were talking about drugs and alcohol. Before we went to the break, we were talking with our good friend Scott in Boulder Creek, and he was in the middle of making a point. I guess, you know, this is the time when we keep format. This is a very highly, it's a highly professional radio station, and we do not like to break format. And what we normally do here is play Kay's latest commentary, which, and we're going to do that, but it's probably not nice to make poor Scott wait to finish his point, you know, wait another 5 minutes. So let's put him on right now, if you can finish up real quick, Scott, okay?
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
I
believe in extending a courtesies and respect to people.
You've got a great coach there.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, Kim Allen is quite buff. I've seen him myself. It's impressive. I wanted to talk about addiction. There's some drugs like alcohol, heroin, and the narcotics and depressants are physically addictive. And then other drugs such as cocaine and methamphetamine, any stimulant, these are psychologically addictive, which means you cannot function without them. Now, pot, on the other hand, is neither psychologically nor physically addictive. It might be, I don't know, severely habit-forming, you know. I think even cigarettes are not physically addictive or psychologically addictive in that you cannot function without them. These are not people, it's like, you know, people who run out, they're not going to go commit crimes to buy this medicine. And it's sad because of the laws that psychiatrists can't even give even psychiatrists who smoke pot can't give it as a prescription because of the image of it all. And instead of using this weakness, you know, to make money and break up families, I think we should really take seriously Aldous Huxley's comments that there should be an alternative to alcohol and cigarettes legally.
And pot is it.
If the Schaefer Commission is correct, it sounds like...
I think so. I'm dead serious. In college in 1969 at UC Berkeley, I was failing a class. And then I smoked some pot, and I wrote the paper on the night before the final, or the turning in the final term paper. And it was a short paper. It was short and sweet, but it was so fantastic that it actually got me an A in the class.
Well, you tapped into your own creativity.
Yeah. And if anybody is interested in the KSCO audience, if enough people ask me in a nice way, I might just dredge that paper out and read it to our audience someday.
What was the topic?
Nothing in particular. I just called it a paper.
Hmm. I'm going to say there's an interesting kind of thought that happens, that a belief between somehow things happen outside of our physiology, that somehow psychology exists outside of our physiology, and actually that's really impossible. The physiology and what's being learned in neuroscience every day and validated is that our chemistry, which is part of our physiology and our brain, creates thinking and creates a lot of our personality and action.
Right.
A really interesting aspect is also what we do and what we think affects our physiology. So there is that truly connectedness between thinking and being. And the drugs act on the physiology, which creates thinking and behavior, which gets us into some problems. That's with all drugs. So to say that any drug is just not physically addictive is really an error. But there are degrees of, I would say, addiction potential between different drugs. And they act in the physiology of the person that they're going into. So some people may be, and this is shown, at more risk than other people. But it's a physical phenomenon. It's not a psychological phenomenon.
I agree. It's any drug would be a substitute for mind and body unity. I think someone with mind and body unity needs no drugs.
Right.
I think it's important to distinguish between, you know, the definitions of physically addictive and psychologically addictive in order to make an educated decision. Because there's, you know, obviously terrible ramifications of alcohol being legal. But on the other hand, if it's illegal, it's even worse.
mind and body unity. May I borrow that?
That's
Scott,
what it's all about.
Mind and body
unity. You know, Mac, that's kind of ironic because on my business card, because I'm I have a fitness and health business, is the integration of mind and body. Exactly what my philosophy is, and it clearly works too, because when you go to the gym and you exercise and endorphins get going, you do a lot of problem solving and resolution, and when you leave the gym, you've had a mind workout and a body workout.
You do that. I mean, obviously you do that, but you might do it at a home gym, or you do it at a public gym?
I do both, you know, or I do it on my bicycle when I'm just, you know, letting her go.
Endorphins, you know, is a natural drug the body produces. You know,
I'd like to have some endorphin injections.
Yeah, that
would be heroin.
Yeah. Which doctor?
Yeah, that would be heroin. That's
who
right.
Would prescribe endorphin injections for poor old MZ? Okay. Hey.
Right. That's the one to stay away from unless you need a, you know, arm sawed off or something.
Right.
Hey, Boulders Creek Scott, thank you for calling
thank
in Saturday
you, sir.
Special. 479-1080. Is the phone number, and that opens up a line, so we got two or three of them. We've got Peter on the medical policies of the CHP, California Highway Patrol, regarding medicine, and he just got a possession ticket recently. Richard in Soquel is going to be up about the weed and seed program, says he has ideas to change the community, and our good friend Walt in Aptos, unless that's another Walt in Aptos, will also be on. Our phone number is 479-1080. And we have a fax number that I haven't given out. It's 475-2967. I understand Serial Faxer is listening to us again, and we haven't had a nice cartoon in a long time. So, Serial, please do a cartoon for us before the end of this program so I can share it verbally with the audience. It's 11:16 a.m., hour number two of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Without any further ado, we are going to play Kay's latest commentary. It's on a different subject, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty powerful.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
FYI, 4 weeks ago on July 19th, retired Captain Dave Wilson of the U.S. Navy wrote a unique clarification of the war initiated by Hezbollah against Israel. Captain Dave Wilson is not Jewish. It was Hezbollah's ultimate behavior to create this war so that Israel took the bait and went to war, intending to destroy Hezbollah once and for all. Captain Wilson's title was, Why the World Should Stand Back and Let Israel Do What It Has to Do. Here's the plan and see how Israel fell into the trap. President Lahoud of Lebanon, a big supporter and close ally of Syria, has been shrieking nonstop to the UN Security Council for the past several days to force Israel into a ceasefire. Clearly, he had been reading his autographed copy of Military Success for Dummies, Arab Despots, by the late Nasser, leader of Egypt. Ever since Nasser accidentally discovered the trick in 1956, every subsequent Arab leader has stuck to his tried-and-true formula for military success. It's called instigate a war. Once the war is well underway and you're in the process of having your ass handed to you, get a few world powers to force your Western opponent into a ceasefire. Whatever you do, don't surrender or submit to any terms dictated by your enemy. That would ruin everything. All you have to do is wait it out, and eventually the world will become sickened by what is being done to your soldiers and civilian population, and it will force a truce. Once a truce has been called, you can resume your intransigence, which probably caused the conflict in the first place, and even declare victory as your opponent leaves the field of battle. This tactic has never failed, not once. In fact, it worked so well for the Egyptians in 1973 that to this day they celebrate the Yom Kippur War, a crushing defeat at the hands of Israel, as military victory. No kidding. It's a national holiday in Egypt. Lebanon President Lahoud keeps shrieking like a schoolgirl to the UN Security Council, stop the violence, arrange a ceasefire, and then after that we'll be ready to discuss all the matters. Forgive me if I find that hard to swallow. He allowed Hezbollah to take over his country. He has turned a blind eye while Iranian and Syrian weapons, advisors, and money have poured into his country. And now that his country is in ruins, he wants to call it a draw. As much as it may sicken the world to stand by and watch it happen, strong hands need to hold back the weak-hearted and let the fight continue until one side finally admits its absolute defeat. That did not happen this time. Thank you, Captain Dave Wilson, for telling it accurately. Now it's after the fact. We'll probably never know for sure why Israel capitulated to whatever pressure that was put upon her to agree to the ceasefire before the job was done. Maybe the realization that, in fact, Israel was fighting four enemies at once: Hezbollah, the phony Lebanon president, Syria, and Iran, the latter two who supplied all the thousands of Katyushas and other weapons pointed at Israel nonstop for 31 days. And now the phony ceasefire. After one day, Hezbollah reneged on the peace agreement and refuses to give up its arms. And an impotent UN peace force now will not be in place for months. And the Lebanon army, infiltrated with Hezbollah, will keep the peace. What a sick joke. Before Islamic fascism takes over the world, Israel and the U.S. and other peace-loving countries must wake up now and eliminate both Iranian and Syrian power before Hezbollah can be surely destroyed. Put bluntly, we are presently living in a twilight zone where goodness is perceived as evil and evil as goodness. If goodness does not band together and deal once and for all with the Irans, Syrias, and North Koreas of the world, our civilization will be on its way out. For KSEO and KOMY, this is Kay's Whirling.
Ooh, heavy stuff. It's 21 minutes after 11 a.m., hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. If you want to call us, we have a line or two open at 479-1080. The discussion is on drugs and alcohol. Let's see. Who's been waiting the longest? Richard in Soquel, then we'll do Walt and Aptos. Richard, you're on.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. Mom's certainly senior power, no two ways about it.
Yeah, she's great.
As I mentioned, weed and seed, I'd like him to kind of interact, and, you know, certainly he's aware of it, and, you know, has this county, either sheriff's department or, like, police departments applied for it, and what's his insight on the capacity building of the Justice Department, not so much in his area, but in the seeding part, the proactive, the prevention, the community-type stuff. So I'd like to, you know, be on the air and... Kim, could you speak into weed and seed?
I'm not really clear on what where you're headed. Could you explain
a
little further?
Do you know the program, the Justice Department program, weed and seed? Are you aware of it?
No, I'm not aware of it at all. I'm totally unfamiliar with it.
Well, you know, do a Google search. The application could come at the end of January. It's about $1 million. It's a five-year access to the capacity building of the Justice Department. And certainly with all those situations in the Beach Flats area, it's got the attention of the Santa Cruz community. And, I would be opinionated, but, you know, you got to have that partnership to build on what's already in place. So what it came out of was the riots down in Watts. And the weed part is, you know, to take care of what you guys are already doing. But the most important part is the seeding. And so there would have to be some research. Would you take that on and check it out?
Yeah, I'll take a look at that and read it and review it and see.
We may not qualify in that historically it's been for urban areas, but at the same time, Salinas had a weed and seed, and I don't think we're much different than there.
No, there's a lot of similar problems, definitely.
I would hold that the question today, Michael, is what you personally, as a businessman, as probably the one and only, middle of the road, process of communication, what you could do right there in your backyard in the Live Oak area. And that's where, you know, Kim and his resources are. So I'm going to stop at this point, and, you know, I'm opinionated that we don't need one more, but a process that brings people together, and that your particular station, as you have both to the right and the left, and certainly Mom, you could do something different than anybody else could ever do, and that's what I'm going to try to speak into.
Well, we're trying. Hey, thank you, Richard.
Okay,
appreciate your help. There goes Richard in SoCal. Someone just hung up from line one. Call back if you want. We'll get you on. Walt and Aptos on industrial hemp. Welcome to the Saturday special. You're on, Walt.
Hello.
Hey.
I want to talk about industrial hemp. Gee, I'm sorry I missed that program this morning. I never, ever, up until this morning, I wouldn't say forever, but I've listened to every Saturday morning on KGO, and I missed that program on industrial hemp.
Well, see, that'll learn you to ever tune out of our station.
Well, anyhow, industrial hemp has been part of, well, my father's brother was in the Spanish-American War, and he stayed and married in the Philippines, and he became a hemp buyer for International Harvester Company. Of course, that doesn't mean anything about now, but I married my wife, Nina, who came from Romania. And when she came over here, and she was telling me that her parents were growing hemp, and I said, that stuff's illegal. And she says, well, it isn't there. Any illegal marijuana that comes into Romania is illegal. So anyhow, she told me that her parents grew the hemp, and then they took the hemp, and they in the fall of the year, they lay it in the stream bed, and they'd soak it, and then her mother would remove the fibers of the hemp, and then she had a loom, and she would make all kinds of clothing and everything out of it. So all I wanted to say was that it's surprising to me that this country has been so ignorant about industrial hemp. Why they've kept it off the market, and why they can't let the farmers grow this stuff, because it's a good profit item for any farmer. So I'm legally blind now, so anything I'm hearing now, my wife tells me about it. But apparently, the governor can sign a law allowing industrial hemp to be grown in his state, and I hope that happens.
So do I, Walt.
So that's about all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks for calling the Saturday special. Larry on a cell phone in Aptos. You're on the air.
Hi, MZ.
Hey.
Listen, first of all, I'd just like to say Michael Olson made a presentation to us at the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation, and we really appreciate you guys' help.
No, Michael's great.
He is great. Yeah. He's great. He's a great, great guy. I want to speak at it from a business perspective. When you're talking about allowing grass to become part of the landscape, well, along with alcohol, as a retired businessman, all I can say is the last thing we need is another drug on the market to impair the good senses of our employees. And I know that sounds like a capitalist idea, but that's exactly what kind of country we are, and I think that you might understand that too. The last thing you need is your employees dozing off on something else when they come in hungover or whatever. So that's just a quick point I wanted to make about it. Thank you for letting me
No, I appreciate that. But Larry, you know, before you hang up,
yes,
if they're going to do it, they're going to do it, you know, whether it's legal or not, don't you think? Or you think they're more likely to do it if it's legal than if it's not?
How much alcohol was? How many people drank when it was prohibited?
Probably more than when it isn't.
Well, I really don't think so, because it was a little bit difficult to get in the hinterlands, but not in the big cities.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. Hey, thank you for calling the Saturday special.
You bet.
Now, Rory in Watsonville, then Peter in New Brighton. Rory in Watsonville, you're wrong. Hi.
Yes, Michael. A question earlier from an early caller, what is weed and seed? Is that like a lawn care product? What was that guy talking about?
I did my best with that. You gotta give me some applause for that one.
Yeah. Do the Google and you'll find out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll probably get Scott's lawn care come up. Anyway, Michael, I think the reason that professor gave you a good grade on that paper is probably because he was stoned too.
That's exactly what I thought. I almost said that.
I mean, you got to put two and two together.
Okay, well, I'm going to see if I can find it, and I will read it on a subsequent Saturday special.
But you got
to. But actually, come to think of it, no one's even asked. I put it out there, and not a single person has responded saying they want to. So if you're going to be that way about it, to hell with them all. I just won't do it.
I want to hear it.
Oh, you do?
I did a lot of homework when I was high, and I can't even remember.
Well. Since I have like such a high regard for you, Rory, I think that might push me over the top.
Well, thank you. Make it part of an editorial.
Okay.
That way it'll repeat and then we'll catch it.
You know, it's so rare that I do an editorial because, you know, mom has been doing
your
them
mom,
for... Well, actually, they're common.
Awesome.
They're commentaries, but, editorial.
They're editorial. She does a great job. In that last editorial, I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah.
100%.
But what about the one before, the classic one that we played at the beginning of this program?
I missed the very, very beginning.
That was where she said that, hey, if alcohol is legal, why isn't pot legal? Because pot alcohol causes way more grief. Now, doesn't that make sense to you?
It sounds good on the surface, but having been an experienced pot smoker, I think pot has a more insidious side that alcohol doesn't have. Because you can have a glass of wine and not be stoned. Okay, you can't take a couple hits of pot and not get high. And there's a fundamental issue that pot does that I don't know if anybody's talked about, but there's a spiritual component to smoking pot that is not without, you don't get that with alcohol. I mean, you got to drink a lot of alcohol to get smashed.
Oh, that's,
and you don't have to smoke much pot to get really stoned.
That's why they call alcohol spirits.
Yeah, but at the same time.
Is that true?
Yeah,
it might be because you were.
That's true, and that's. But spirits are the high octane alcohol. We're not talking vino and beer.
I mean, not
spirits
not
is 80 proof.
Not one, but two epiphanies today.
Yeah,
spirits and mind and body unity. Right here on your favorite radio station. Learn all about
very
that.
Good. The other thing about pot, real quick, is that they somebody said it's not psychologically addicting, but I would. There's some kind of an addiction there, and if it's not psychological, maybe it's spiritual. But it is an incredible crave it creates. And I smoked a lot between the ages of 15 and 18, and I have nothing good to say about it. And I think it promotes strong delusions. You actually think that you have great, keen insights, and actually you don't. You're actually dumber than a sack of rocks.
Well, is that I was getting an F, and then I got an A.
Well, look where you were going to school. Your professor is probably snorting coke, too, Michael.
At Berkeley, I'm not so sure. That was at Berkeley. At Santa Cruz, I would say that's true.
Yeah.
In fact, that's,
I had a high school teacher that was a cokehead.
I was able to major in something that they didn't even have a major for at UCSC because I got three of my dope-smoking professors to sign the application form for the individual major.
All right, did you give him an opiated thigh stick?
No, I didn't have to go that far.
What's the major?
Communications. The actual title of my major, Politics of Communications. And, man, I mean, how many people are walking around this planet with a bachelor's degree in politics of communications? I mean, I should have been able to – I planned to write my ticket to any job I wanted in the world, and guess what happened?
Well, look at what you're doing, though. I mean,
nothing.
You're there. No, you're there. You got that radio station. My goodness.
But it had absolutely – that was in spite of the individual major with the dope-smoking,
The last thing I'll say, and then I'll
not
bail out.
Not because of. It was in spite of.
Is that pot is it's different than alcohol in that it takes over. It went like, and I've said this before. It went from let's go do something and smoke pot to let's smoke pot and go do something. I mean, it moved in that fast, and it took over the lives of a bunch of 15-year-olds. And I broke with it by the time I hit 18. I was done, and it was a spiritual breakthrough that got me away from it. But and I'm not against industrial hemp. I'm all for hey, you want to grow that because that's a different. Species.
It's a different aminal altogether.
Yeah, and if they can do something with it industrially, go for it. But I'm not for legalizing pot smoking because it'll be very destructive to our youth.
So,
we've got to protect them. That's our job. Our job as adults. We've got to protect these kids.
So that's one instance in which you disagree with Kay.
Right.
She didn't actually say that it should be legalized, but she just said there should be consistency, you know.
Right.
They should either both be legal or both be illegal, I think.
Yeah, but they're two different animals. They're absolutely two different animals. You can have a glass of wine with dinner, and you can do that every day, and you're not going to fall apart. If you smoke a really good joint every day, it's going to screw you up. Just give it time and then take pictures and all that stuff and check back in with somebody that's sober.
Well, the reason I stopped is I would eat the munchies would be so powerful that I could not stop eating. And I knew that if I didn't stop smoking pot, not that I smoked that much, I really didn't smoke very much, but it was enough.
To make me realize that I would be uncontrollably eating,
and pretty soon I wouldn't even be able to buy KSCO someday because I wouldn't be able to fit in
the
door.
Right. Hey, I got one good munchie story. Do you got time for a funny munchie story?
Absolutely.
All right, my buddies, that their family, they struggle, so they're always asking me for food to eat. So we'd gotten high, and they knew that we had a stocked fridge. They said, Rory, go get some. We're hungry. I said, okay. I went in. I opened up the fridge. And there was this can of pet tuna cat food. I went,
why not?
And I literally went, got a paper plate, put a bunch of nice crackers on it, and then spooned all this stuff onto the crackers and took it out to two of these guys. They were stepbrothers. And one of them took like ate one and a half. He said, oh, that's enough. The other guy gobbled the rest. He goes, what is this, cold bean dip? And he was just chowing. And I couldn't stop laughing. I didn't want to tell him. And anyway, I finally told him, then they chased me with a baseball bat. But it was just hilarious. He thought it was cold bean dip. So I rest my case. It screws you up. You don't even know what you're eating, let alone thinking. So I'll leave it at that, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay, Rory and Watson. That reminds me of the cherimoya seed story. If anyone's interested, they can call and ask that I tell it. And if not, I won't. Here's Peter in New Brighton, California. Peter, welcome to KSCO.
Hello, Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, your medical marijuana prescription that you get from these local doctors like Medicaid.
Yeah, I don't have one. Do you?
It's not. Yes, I do. But even though I had one, I was stopped California Highway Patrol last week by an officer, Mendez, and I showed him my prescription because I showed him my weed and my hash, too. He got me for felony possession. Marijuana, which basically is not a ticket. I went down to the county jail for hours. My friends had to come up with $1,000 cash to bail me out of jail, and my car to Watsonville. I cost $420 to get my car out of the impound yard. So I just want people to know that that prescription is not a carte blanche invitation to transport marijuana or have it in your car or to have
maybe you had more of an amount than you were allowed by the prescription. Is that possible? Kim is shaking his head here. Come on, Kim, help us out with this.
He had some hash, I think, is what he's saying.
I had 1 gram of hash, okay?
And that's the problem. Basically, it's concentrated cannabis and it's a felony.
Is the old statute in California statute under 11157 says that that's a felony. However, on Proposition 215, it says that you can have up to 8 ounces of dried processed marijuana, flowers, or its plant conversion. Those are the three magic words. But basically, I just want people to know
So you're hanging your hat on that conversion for the hash?
Yes. Basically, they sell the hash in the hash oil down Greenway under the guise of medical marijuana. And I bought it from Greenway. It has a stick Greenway with the California Health and Safety Code on it.
Kim, if you would have been the officer that stopped Peter in New Brighton, would you have busted him?
Well, the sheriff's office has a different protocol, let's say, than most likely, and I can't say this for certainty, than the Highway Patrol does. When it comes to hashish, yeah, it's a felony, and he would have been arrested, I believe. The medical marijuana part, you know, that's the problem with the proposition right now. You know, where does it begin? Where does it stop? When can we and when can't we? And in fact, we've incorporated a oral board question that we ask of our recruits, trying to represent what this county's like when we bring people in from the very first day regarding medical marijuana and assessing whether or not a grow is adequate or not for the medical needs. So it's really a shell game and a witch hunt when it comes to legitimate medical patients and those that are abusing it. And then you, in the mix, to make this even more confusing, okay, we've got these other laws, drug laws, that say that concentrated cannabis is a felony and so on. So I can't sit here on a talk show on a Saturday and figure this one out, because it's a big tangled ball of string, and it's just going to take time for this state and the federal government to come to terms on it. I know that our department is very progressive in the approach to dealing with medical marijuana cases, and a lot of times what we do is we just photograph, document, and send it to the district attorney and let them take a look at it. And if there's excessive grow and it's clear that the persons are growing it for sale and for profit, then hopefully, you know, that can be determined. If not, then we move a little bit further down the road in trying to determine this whole thing.
Oh, Peter, I hope that made you feel a little better. It probably didn't.
Well, sort of. I just want to add another thing. I spoke subsequently twice with Sergeant Steve Siebert of the California Highway Patrol, and the policy of the Highway Patrol is that you have to have the Health and Human Services card that identifies you as a medical marijuana patient in order for them to acknowledge that. They won't acknowledge a piece of paper from Medicam. They don't even acknowledge the county medical marijuana card. You have to have that Health and Human Services card.
Right, don't they? They have a card now that's coming from the state, the last I heard. So
Right. But it doesn't help.
You need to get one of those then.
I'm on a really short income, and I'm out $420, and I'm looking at, how am I going to put gas in my car and eat food this month just because I got that $420.
We need somebody to sell advertising here at KSCO. Why don't you come down?
Well, maybe I'll come down and be an ad rep. I'm tired of being a janitor. All right.
But what's going to happen is that your case is going to get to the district attorney's office, and they're going to ultimately, Bob Lee and the prosecutors there will make an assessment of it. And
right.
And hopefully, you know, it will ultimately get itself resolved in a benevolent way.
There's another aspect of this case is that the city of Santa Cruz licensed Greenway to sell medical marijuana, and they're condoning it. And also, too, it's like under the same guys in medical marijuana, they're selling concentrated hash and hash oil, and they say that according to them at Greenway it's covered, but according to the California Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Department, I'm looking at a felony, you know.
Well,
I smoke a little bit at night to sleep.
And hopefully you can get this resolved in court, and these issues can be more clarified than what
right.
can be given in a talk show.
We wish you the best, Peter. We got to move on. Lloyd wants to talk about men.
Yes, hi. Yeah, meth is very serious.
Oh, meth. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it does say meth. Okay.
Methamphetamine, crystal, crank, whatever. From personal experience, my 35-year-old son lost his job, lost his house, his car, his license, his girlfriend, his wife, his son. He lost me and his mother. And that all happened in about a year. So I don't know about the officer there. He must really know how serious this problem is. It's the major cause of robbery, of theft.
Well, I can tell you this. A lot of the homicide cases that I worked in, even in the 80s starting, and then up and through the mid-90s, there was the central theme of methamphetamine. And it is, I said back then, which I've seen on shirts now and whatnot, I said that if Satan made a drug, it would be methamphetamine. And it is that violent of an assault on a person's every outlet, every existence. It just totally dominates. And the health issues involved in methamphetamine use is staggering. It just turns a person. We have a progressive booking photo scenario of some of the most prettiest women I've seen
mm-hmm.
in this county, and you watch as they go through each booking process within a year, as you've already indicated, and it goes from being this beautiful blonde to being this girl with rotten teeth and this twisted smile and looks like clearly 20 years older, and it's just staggering from a visual representation of what it does. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And then the other side of it is it usually manifests itself in ID theft because they're ripping off mailboxes
right.
to get and washing checks, and it's a huge, huge problem. And we definitely need to prioritize our resources, and methamphetamine is on the screen, and I hope that people keep talking about it because you're absolutely right. It's just really a trigger here for what we should be doing.
Yeah, I track the arrest every day and looking to see if my son's going to show up on your website. And it
wow.
drives me
yeah.
crazy. and there's nothing you can do.
Lori, we feel for you. Maybe something will click in your son's brain, which is what's going to have to happen.
And it's just not my son. It's a lot of his friends. I know at least 10 people that have, one's in prison for 10 years for selling it. So anyway, that's it. It's a serious problem.
You know, when it comes to drugs and alcohol, and generally, you know, the consensus is live and let live and such. Really, clearly, when it comes to methamphetamine use, there has to be an aggressive approach at its cutting off the manufacturing of it, the distribution, and how it's being brought into this country and how it's being distributed.
Yeah, from Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's coming, yeah, and it's also being manufactured here in our country, and it clearly is a huge epidemic, and this country needs to wake up and really take a hard look at it because everybody's taking a blind eye to it to some degree.
My renter, he has been clean for 10 years, and he says it didn't take him till recently that he really was clean. You know what I mean? He couldn't be with other friends that were on it.
Well, the devastation to the brain, again, just neurologically from speed, that's probably why they call it speed. It's very fast in what it does, and it does what it does to the body, to the brain, to behavior in a very rapid amount of time, and has a high addiction potential, kind of like if we talk about alcohol. I have 100 people in the room, and I feed them alcohol openly for about 6 months, as much as they want. I cannot addict 100% of those people. Same thing with pot. It has an addiction potential. There's a certain risk that people inherently have, and that will determine whether they have the compulsive loss of control. But with speed, it has a very high addiction potential and works very quickly.
Well, I just learned recently one of the methods of cooking meth is using Drano.
A number of products you can use. They have chicken crank. You use actually fertilizer or, you know, the waste products from chicken. So it has uraic acid in it.
Well, I don't think we've even hit the peak yet on meth in this city in particular.
I would hope we have, but I don't know.
It's horrible stuff. It's horrible stuff. It puts you into depression really soon.
All right. Thanks for the time.
Yeah. Thank you, Lloyd. Hope things go better with your son. It's the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Michael Z. Saturday Special. Rosie, what in the world are you doing here? Don't you know that it's Saturday?
This was the most difficult Saturday Special to put together. I wanted to say thank you to the participants.
Oh, okay.
You're welcome. Even though Richard called in, you're welcome.
Okay. We're going to take a break. However, should I read this? I get into trouble if I just read faxes cold sometimes because sometimes they contain profanities and then we get fined. No. I'll just sort of scan it ahead of time. Okay.
It's probably from your professor at Berkeley.
It's from Ellison Construction, 335-3531. Okay, it must be a fax number. Dear MZ, everyone knows that drug trade helps finance terrorist organization. Prosecute users. Hard to stop demand. 2, Minuteman, Mr. Gilchrist, organizer, says from observation that drug cartels own the border. Therefore, prosecute users hard. And 3, it says, I explained to a deputy sheriff based in San Lorenzo Valley 2 years ago how the drug handoff and when it occurred at Felton Fair Shopping Mall, but no increased surveillance, and it is not stopped. Why? And it's signed Mary.
Well, Mary, you need to call our tip line and give us some more information because we do follow up on those. And, I hear that a lot in regards to a lot of different information that's provided to the Sheriff's Department. And unfortunately, some of them don't get picked up. And for whatever reason, maybe yours didn't get followed up on. And that's unfortunate because that's the kind of thing that we need to do. Because people have a right to go down to that shopping center and not have to deal with people dealing crank out there at the phone booth. And you know, the enforcement component of it is definitely one of the approaches to dealing with drug addiction. But it's the treatment. And why are people doing this? With methamphetamine, though, I think we really get kind of thrown a curve because it is so aggressive and so toxic that even the user doesn't even have a chance.
All right. Now, there's this just in, ladies and gentlemen. This is written on the screen. Rosie wants to hear more from our female guest. That would be Roxanne McDonald. Roxanne, I'll bet when you came here today, you didn't know that this was going to be the kind of radio show that it's become.
No, I did not know that it was going to be like this.
Had you known, would you have not come?
No, I would have come.
Okay, good.
I would have come.
You look like you have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And it's just, we don't want to be morose and just negative and sad and, you know, but I'm sure you have a, you should feel free to, you know, chime in here mm-hmm. in the conversation. I hope you will.
Well, it's hard not to be morose and sad when you're talking about methamphetamine.
No.
I mean, it really is an awful drug, and it is an epidemic in Santa Cruz County. And that, especially with young people, I see very young girls, especially the profile a lot is very early teen girls in hotel rooms, motel rooms with older men, young people thinking that they're going to get thin and, you know, a quick fix. A lot of times, you know, really rapid turnaround, because sometimes, most of the time, you see, you know, people not knowing the consequences, and that education could help, but, you know, in general, it doesn't do very much for young people. But we do, I don't think that there is enough media about methamphetamine at this time, especially geared towards young people.
I'm actually quite surprised, because this is the first time I've heard about that. I've known about these drugs. They've been around a long, long time. I took, you know, once I took some to help with a test, mm-hmm. and it worked great, but I got horribly depressed afterwards.
Well, it's clear how you got through mm-hmm. Berkeley.
I know.
No, I know. It sounds like
meth and marijuana.
It sounds like I was a druggie. I really wasn't at all. If I was,
I'm just kidding.
I would have gotten hooked. No, that I was lucky. I felt like I wanted to jump off the Golden mm-hmm. Gate Bridge after that whole thing, even though I aced the final mm-hmm. because of the all-nighter that I put in because of this. But man, that. What do you call it? Coming down, or the depression, or something?
The withdrawal.
It was so horrible mm-hmm. that I said, hey, no matter how good you feel, you know.
But, Michael, there was a lot of that going on in college during our generation. I'm 54
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
You know, and with the Summer of Love and whatnot. Yeah. When we were in college, they called them, crosstops? Whites, mm-hmm. and they were everywhere, and students used them like crazy. Physicians used them in ER rooms. Fighter pilots
Benny's
used it
and Dexies
in Vietnam. I mean, it was the Hell's Angels that were the ones that were manufacturing yeah. and selling it during mm-hmm. that period, and that's no longer the case. But speed has been around. Methamphetamine, crank's been around a long time. But now, I've never seen anything like it, and when it really hit Santa Cruz County, I got a wake-up call in a homicide case up in the San Lorenzo Valley, where not only was there a homicide that occurred, but aberrant sexual practices that I have never mm-hmm. could imagine. And when she touched on the youth involved in it, the teenagers involved in it, and that's exactly what happens. They end up in some motel room with some guy, or somebody's using them for fodder for the Internet, and they're mm-hmm. filming these things, video clips. Email, etc. And it's horrible. We had a case up in Ben Lomond just exactly like that, and the main player in that's now in prison. Other people involved in that, I feel, probably could have been held more accountable. And a lot of it has to do with stereotyping and who can be a predator and who can't. So suffice it to say, it's an extraordinarily multifaceted nightmare that we have going right now. Somebody, all of us, need to do something about it.
Clearly, I had no idea. Well, I appreciate learning that. Thank you. We need to figure out what to do. We're going to have another Saturday special.
All about meth.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, it's 8 minutes remain on this edition of the Saturday special. We do have a commercial break, and when we come back, we will have two excellent callers, so stay with us.
Hi, you guys. Did you know Wallach also has liquid glucogel? You know, that's the one that helps rebuild bone and cartilage, takes care of the bone matrix. They actually have a liquid glucogel that I add into my drink every single morning, and it really is loaded with goodies. It has 750 milligrams of glucosamine sulfate. This is in 1 ounce. Why not switch to the liquid glucogel? I use mine in the morning. I mix my liquid glucogel with my Ultimate Classic, my Osteo FX, and my Women's FX. I stir it up. It's a nice little yummy thing. You can almost chew on it. It's so thick. But it's delicious. It's sweet tasting. And oh my, it really packs a wallop. Oh. A wallop. That's a mistake, but actually it's a good one. It actually packs a wallop instead of a wallop. Anyway, you should do this. I drink the liquid glucogel every day, and don't forget, even an extra benefit, it has collagen. Call me, 888-352-7500, 888-352-7500.
What do you get when you mix a half a cup of Youngevity's Ancient Legacies Dead Sea Salts, a few drops of To Be Happy and To Be Loved essential oil mixtures, a warm bath, and a crabby kid? Let it all steep for a while and you just might get a relaxed and happy kid. That's my happy kid's bath recipe. Youngevity's Ancient Legacies essential oil blends plus Ancient Legacies Dead Sea Salts equals lots of feeling good. I've got recipes for happy mamas, uplifted dads, renewed energies for springtime, for whatever ails you. I've come up with a comforting, relaxing, or energizing solution. Give me a call and I'll share my special tonic bath recipes with you. And as always, I appreciate any new ideas. Call me, Sophie Winnick, at 335-3216, 335-3216. Take care.
Hi, this is Bill Graff, KSCO's production director. Look, I could give you a lot of hoo-ha about how great our computer system is here. Bottom line is this. We have enough computers in this building that if our computers didn't work right, we'd be in a world of hurt. And our computers generally work pretty well. And when they don't, we can give a call to Dennis and the guys at Day and Night Computer, and they come over and fix them right away. We don't have to wait any time of the day or night. You know, that's nice for a business like ours that's so heavily dependent on computers and technology. Look, you can do whatever you want. My advice to you, though, is to call Dennis if you have a computer question or a computer problem, or if you just want him to build you a computer. And best of all, he'll save you time and money, and I suppose that's what it's really all about. The more money you save and the less downtime you have, the more profitable your company will be. If you don't have a company, hey, time is money at home, too. Remember that. Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
Oh, I guess we're back. Are we back? Yeah, I guess we are back. Okay, welcome to the closing moments of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Okay, we do have a couple of callers here. Let's go to Pat in Santa Cruz, where to find cranksters. How would you know that, Pat?
Because I encounter them when I'm there.
Oh, where is there?
It's basically in the forest right around Santa Cruz. The place is teeming with them, and I have repeatedly told local law enforcement I'll be glad to escort them personally to campsites where they are. But due to the underfunding of our local Parks and Recreation Department, we only have one ranger covering the whole city, and he's doing a great job, but there needs to be more enforcement.
That's Ranger Wallace. He's doing a terrific job.
He sure
and the poor guy's out there in Pogo Nip, and he's coming across homicide victims and total drug fiends up all day and night. And they're down in the levee. They're in the bushes.
Right.
I mean, it's an epidemic. And that poor guy does a terrific job.
He's a great guy.
And they don't even give him a gun. He doesn't even have a gun. He doesn't. And
he's a pretty tough guy. He can take care of himself, but, of course,
he's got good people skills.
Other people have guns.
He's got good people skills, and he's a fit, energetic man that just does an incredible job. But I've talked to him several times.
But there's only one of them. My point is we need some more Johns out there.
Yeah, see, and that's in the city of Santa Cruz. And like with our office as well, you know, I'm on the recruitment team, and we are having a hard time filling our open spots. Everybody
is. I asked the city council to provide more enforcement in the forest, but they just give me blank looks and cut funding. That would go a long way, though, towards rooting out the problem, which, you know, I mean, as long as they know they can duck into the forest and it's going to be sort of no man's land, that's where they're going to be. And they'll come out of the forest and do their nasties and go back into the forest. I recommend the city get serious about getting them out of there. But that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pat, in Santa Cruz. Here's Billy Capitola. Billy, you're on.
Let's wrap this up with real-world solutions.
because what we're talking about, first of all, is the biggest failure in the world, the drug war over the past 50 years. Here's the real world solution. You know, there's two kinds of people and two kinds of drugs. The two kinds of drugs are, some drugs are just simply destructive to character, crack, methamphetamine. Here's the deal, though. What you need to do is you need to wait until someone's actually committed a crime, not of using the drug, but the crimes that follow from some people's use of drugs. And then you got to come down on them like a house of cards. What you have to do is not prison, but the kind of rehabilitation that as long as it takes for you to be rehabilitated, that's how long we keep you in. After you've actually committed a crime. We all know people who've smoked pot for 30, 40 years, never committed a crime, and do just fine. The fact is that the war on marijuana is, well, it turns some people into second-class citizens. Imagine being thrown in jail in Texas for life because you chose to smoke pot instead of drink alcohol. That's a crime. It's politics at its worst.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Billy, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Mike.
Call me after the show on the business line right at noon, okay?
Okay, Mike.
All right, thank you. That was Billy and Capitola. Hey, want to thank our guests, Jan Tice, Roxanne McDonald, and Kim Allen for participating in an epic Saturday special on AM 1080 KSEO and KSEO.com. And
this was a good one.
Oh, thank
this
you.
This is a good one.
All yeah. Thanks for having me.
All because of you guys.
It's a little
all
bit like a Fellini movie in some parts, which is Santa Cruz.
This program will be rebroadcast this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at KSCO.com or SaturdaySpecial.com. See you next week.
That's all, folks.
Up-to-the-minute news and the best in talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
Fox News Radio, I'm Allison Slater. The delicate ceasefire in the Middle East may be in jeopardy after some fierce fighting between Israel's special forces and Hezbollah. Israeli forces say they conducted a raid in eastern Lebanon to disrupt the supply of arms from Syria and Iran. One soldier and three Hezbollah fighters were killed.
We do see that there now are huge opportunities and that there might be a great upside for the Lebanese people and the government of Lebanon in order to continue to solidify and build democracy.
That's a special envoy from the United Nations after talks in Beirut with Lebanon's foreign minister. Journalists turned out in solidarity today in Gaza to protest the kidnapping of two Fox journalists earlier this week. Fox's Jennifer Griffin has more.
If it is not safe for journalists to operate down here in the Gaza Strip and elsewhere, Western journalists will stop coming to cover the Palestinian point of view.
Reporter Steve Santani and a cameraman were taken on Monday. Iran flexing its muscle, beginning large-scale military exercises. The high-profile operation began today and could last for more than a month, despite heightened international scrutiny over its nuclear program.
Iran, under pressure, of course, to respond to the United Nations resolution to halt its uranium enrichment program or face sanctions.
Fox's Bob Sellers, Iran also receiving criticism for its support for Hezbollah guerrillas in Lebanon. Four of our troops killed in combat operations in eastern Afghanistan. This as coalition forces push farther north along the remote mountains along the Pakistan border, searching for Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters. And heading home this weekend, a police chief in Thailand says John Carr, the suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey murder probe, will be leaving Thailand for the U.S. as early as tomorrow night. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Some increased security measures this weekend in Baghdad.
Baghdad is in lockdown this weekend, traffic banned from all city streets. It's a security precaution to prevent attacks during 2 days of ceremonies at a North Baghdad shrine, marking the death of an 8th century Shiite religious figure. Last year, nearly 1,000 people died crossing a bridge over the Tigris River when rumors about a suicide bomber caused a stampede. Last night, 7 Shiite pilgrims were gunned down in a drive-by shooting as they walked to the ceremonies. In Baghdad, Malini Bawa, Fox News.
Getting out of Beirut may be a bit easier this weekend, but you won't have much company at the local airport. We'll have that story.
Beirut International Airport is a virtual ghost town, just a handful of passengers. This is a very modern, state-of-the-art terminal. It's been closed for the last 5 weeks after Israeli jets bombed 2 out of the 3 runways. Today, that one runway is all that remains for a couple of international flights landing and departing. Also, some international aid flights arriving, but only with Israeli permission. In Beirut Airport, David McDougall, Fox News Radio.
Getting help for Agent Orange exposure. Thousands of veterans can finally seek medical coverage for exposure to Agent Orange, even if they never set foot in Vietnam. The ruling handed down Friday reverses an earlier decision that said service members could only qualify for disability claims if they were exposed to Agent Orange while inside the country. But a former sailor won his case, blaming his diabetes, nerve damage, and loss of sight on coming into contact with a cloud of the toxic chemical that engulfed his ship at sea. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio. More power to Nevada and South Carolina. Democrats have decided to give these states more prominence in the 2008 presidential race. The National Party has agreed to hold Nevada's caucuses right after Iowa's and then move South Carolina's primary to just after New Hampshire's in an effort to diversify the vote. Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, August 19th, 2006. Looks like today will be partly cloudy with southwest winds around 6 miles an hour and highs in the lower 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy with some fog, west winds around 7 miles an hour and lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, you can expect it to be partly cloudy with patches of fog in the morning, west winds at around 6 miles an hour, and highs at 68 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with some fog, and west winds around 8 miles an hour with lows in the mid-50s. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast, west winds 5 to 10 knots with wind waves 1 foot or less, and a northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Tonight out there on the bay, west winds up to 5 knots with wind waves 1 foot or less, and a northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds, along with patchy fog after midnight. The temperature here at the station is 65 degrees.